And joining me in the KRVS studios are Stephen Landry, who is the Artistic Director of Acadiana Repertory Theatre, and Olivia Z. Cody, who is the playwright of their next production, which opens this weekend. It's called Final Flight, and Olivia is here for this developmental production. Performances will be at Cité des Arts this weekend. So it's really nice when the playwrights come. We talk a lot about new playwrights, new plays, developmental theatre. And it's always fascinating to hear what Stephen has to say about the work that Acadiana Rep does, but it's really nice to have you in our studios.
I'm so happy to be here. Good. Thanks for having me.
So you've come down from the Northeast, where it's probably still a little cooler.
Oh, yes. First day of June, 55 degrees. Balmy.
Okay, well, we'll just welcome you into our warmth down here. So are you... You're a very new playwright. I think you were saying that this play was written as a thesis?
Yeah, it was written about a year before I produced it for my thesis at Boston University. Mm-hmm. So that was about 2.5 years ago. And it's been in development since. It had a reading with Nora's Playhouse, which is a small theater in New York City, not this past summer, but the summer before that. And now it's here, and I'm so excited to have this play bring me down to the American South, to which I've never been, surprisingly.
Isn't that amazing?
What a wonderful excuse to travel.
That someone here, a group here, read your play and decided to produce it here. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it really is. To have my words reach cross-country.
Right, to a place you've never been before.
Yeah, fascinating.
Well, let's talk just a bit before we go into the idea of developmental productions in this play. What drew you to writing plays? It's a medium not everyone feels drawn to, comfortable with.
Yes, my mother, when she was my age, was an actor-playwright, which is coincidentally what I am now. Mm-hmm. And so I've always been raised with the presence of theater in my life. I started acting when I was 4 years old. I've always been a writer. I started writing fiction when I was in middle school, possibly late elementary school even. And I put it away when I came to Boston University because I was like, I'm just going to be an actor now. No.
They had other plans.
Yes. My soul had other plans. It was like, you've got to sit down. You've got to write a play. And so I've written several 10 minutes. This is my first full length. It's been in development, as I said, for quite a bit of time. But it really just was like my soul being like, you have to tell this story.
So what was it about this story? It has a really interesting plot. What drew you to this story? Why did your soul feel compelled to put this story into a play?
So the first scene that I wrote in this play was the first scene, which is a conversation between a 17-year-old girl and her therapist, where they talk about her dying mother, and then they also talk about the end of the world. And at the time that I wrote this, due to recent political events, I wrote this, I started writing it December 2016. Mm-hmm. I felt very drawn to the concept of the end of the world, specifically for environmental reasons. And I think it's necessary to discuss how we choose to spend our time, how we choose to love each other and share moments of humility and vulnerability together, because we don't have that much time.
And if an asteroid is heading to the Earth, we have even less time, right?
Correct. that is true.
So tell us about the characters that you created for this play. I mean, you mentioned the girl and her therapist, but there are other people involved as well that really bring some interesting texture and dynamic.
So we write what we know. I know a large family that has experienced some inner turmoil. And so I brought some of that into my characters. The mother of the girl, Ellen, is dying of cancer, and she's in the hospice ward of a hospital. And her estranged sister returns to be reunited with her in the face of this asteroid that's going to cause mass extinction. as you do. And at one point in the writing process, I was a little bit stuck. I was like, where am I going with this? Where am I taking this story? I had a conversation with my father, who I was visiting home at the time, and he said, he was like, have you ever seen Angels in America? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, there's a ghost in that. There's the character, and it's a ghost. And he was like, you've mentioned Amelia Earhart in this play. Why don't you just, like, bring her in?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I did, and it worked. And so she's in there, too. And I hope to the people that don't listen to this that comes as a surprise, but we'll see what happens. But yes, all of these characters really speak directly to my soul because many of them have materialized in my life in some real way.
Well, how do you, I mean, again, it's as lay people who don't write plays, it's always interesting to see how you choose to convey the story. I mean, we all know that there are some plays that are just conversation.
Mm.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And then some plays that are highly choreographed. And how do you have a feeling for that when you're thinking about a play? And obviously, you can't have little figures marching around in front
right.
of you. That's why
of course.
This is good. So in your mind, how did you imagine this story unfolding? I mean, there's obviously words and you're thinking of relationships.
I didn't.
You didn't. Okay, you just let the characters.
Yeah, wrote this play scene by scene in the order that the scenes occur.
Mm-hmm,
and I know that some writers write bits and pieces and then end up connecting them all together and joining them in a kind of wonky union. This play is more grounded. I think something that's important about Final Flight is that it is a slice of life, as chaotic as the central event of the play is.
Mm-hmm.
It really is a look into human nature and family relationship and, as I said, intimacy. And so I think when I imagined what this play looked like, it didn't look like the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It looked
mm-hmm.
like a living room. It looked like a therapist's office. It looked like
a
parking
lot.
Where
many of us will be, I guess, at the end of the world.
Yeah. There's nothing otherworldly or mm-hmm. alienating about it. It's mm-hmm. our life.
Right.
It's our lives.
Right. Facing that ultimate catastrophe.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you are just tuning in, my guest is playwright Olivia Z. Cody talking about her play Final Flight, which is a developmental production put on by the Acadiana Rep Theater this weekend. So tell us about what this world of developmental production. You mentioned that the play as it is now has had its own journey.
Yes.
Not just coming from your pen to Lafayette.
No.
It's had
God.
Tell us about the life of it and what that does to you as a playwright to be on that journey.
Yeah,
with the play.
Sure. So the first draft that I wrote was not very good because first drafts are not very good. You are, I'm going to butcher this quote horribly and I forget who to attribute it to, but a playwright has once mm-hmm. said that shoveling sand into a sandbox is writing a first draft so you can later build castles. And I think that my sandbox was my first draft. And after my first reading of it, I got a better idea of what it was about and what people took away from it. And then I produced it loosely in an academic setting for my thesis. And in the process of producing it, learned what scenes were garbage and what scenes weren't garbage.
Do you find that's from audience reaction or just your having seen it?
Just me seeing it, me hearing it is mm-hmm. really important. Mm-hmm. So having voices read the actual text that I've written, I can see what sounds incredibly contrived and what sounds like a more genuine conversation, a more genuine feeling, more genuine discovery, etc. And so I think after having produced this for my thesis, I took a step back from it. And I was like, okay, I'm not going to think about this for the next several years mm-hmm. because
okay,
I'm sick of it.
And
and then I got contacted by Acadiana who said, hey, you're a semifinalist. And I was like, gosh, this is all happening very quickly.
I might have to think about it
sooner. Yeah. and then I was chosen for the season. I sat down and I was like, all right, let's fix the part of this play that is not good and make it better. Yeah. And hopefully I did that.
Yeah, a real gift, I mean, to a playwright to,
yeah,
to get
yes.
chosen for that.
To like really be forced to sit down and confront bad art that I've made, or not objectively bad art, but mediocre art that I've produced that can be made better.
Yeah, a very young piece of art.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. To be encouraged to help it grow is really exciting.
Right. And I would also assume, you mentioned that you produced it loosely for your thesis,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
but to actually not be the director or the producer of this, to see yeah. how it looks completely away from you.
Yes, and yeah. I have been away for most of the rehearsal process. Mm-hmm. I'm just coming in now. I came in yesterday. And I had one phone call with our director, Debbie, who is lovely. I'm very excited to see the run through tonight and to see where my words have been taken.
It looks like what your child looks like in kindergarten. You're peering at it behind the two-way mirror.
Yeah. it really is. It feels like a mm-hmm. child, and it mm-hmm. feels like raising a child is a collaboration, and creating art is a collaboration, or it should be. And if
right.
it's not, it's not good art.
Right. Here it is, kind of growing up and going out into the public.
Yeah,
you know, and
yeah.
people you don't know, and acting in it, people that you've not selected
mm-hmm.
are presenting this amazing creation.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. I just place my faith and my trust in the hands of Acadiana, and I'm mm-hmm. sure they will do wonderful
yeah.
work.
And, you know, as we're talking and saying this developmental, this may not be the end of it, that having seen this, you will rewrite or reshape something
yeah.
perhaps. And
Yeah, stepping away from my thesis mm-hmm. process, I was like, I hope I never see this again. And coming here, I hope I do see it again. And I hope that this production gives me some insight into what can be furthered.
Mm-hmm.
And I just hope that I gain some inspiration. I'm sure I will.
All right. Well, I want to let people know who are just tuning in that my guests are Stephen Landry with the Acadiana Repertory Theater and playwright Olivia Z. Cody, who is here for the developmental production of Final Flight. It will open on Friday, actually runs for 2 weekends. So, Olivia, you'll be here for the first weekend
I will.
Of the play.
Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday. It's at Cité des Arts, and people can get tickets through the Cité website.
Through Cité's website or our website, acadianarep.org. Or give Cité a call, and Danny will take care of you.
Okay.
So you know, we're encouraged when we hear our playwrights respond like this, because this is exactly why we do what we do.
Yeah. Well,
so.
I'm going to ask you to brag on the play just a little bit. We've been
yeah.
focusing on having
I'd
Olivia talk
to.
About the play, but Acadiana Rep obviously chose this from hundreds.
1,400.
1,400
so
plays.
She is one of four shows selected out of 1,400. So we were,
four
and we were immediately
1,400.
Moved.
I think yeah. people need to let that sink
yeah.
in. That's pretty incredible
yeah.
that many plays are being written in this country,
yeah.
and
thank
that
God.
Something about your play
yeah.
spoke to Acadiana Rep.
Also,
and they
thank
chose
God.
It. Yes, also. So many reasons
yeah.
for praising.
Yeah.
What was it, Stephen, that you all saw in the play?
Well, she said it. Boy, she hit, man, it's like you'd swear I'd fed her the line. Slice of life. That's something that I talk about constantly as the sort of thing that is our wheelhouse, what we always love. I love to feel when I'm reading a show like I got dropped off, that there was time before and there will be time after. Not in this show's case. There will not be time after.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to feel like everything's getting tied up neatly in a bow. I'm interested in how people are on any given day, in any given year, and mixing that in with this concept of the end of the world, but that the show is about that, but not. I mean, it's not. It's as she said, it's about these relationships, and it's all women, which from a
mm-hmm.
theater that has produced a season of all female playwrights and continually commit to at least 50% of our seasons being female playwrights, the idea of an all-female cast written by a female with a female director, I had nothing to do with this show. I stepped mm-hmm. away. Debbie wanted an all-female environment, which I, of course, supported and was thrilled with. So it was a perfect storm for us as a show.
Yeah.
And it I think it allows people to stop and look at their relationships. And as she said, we don't have a ton of time,
mm-hmm.
whether it's an asteroid mm-hmm. or just our own natural, you know, shuffling off. there are things and there are conversations that we have to have, and this show is about that. And I think it you know, and it's got Amelia Earhart's ghost, and that's that right there is reason enough.
Yeah, maybe she'll let us know where
so thanks,
she
Dad,
is
for that,
or she won't, which or is almost won't. More exciting.
That's right. And I think also, as you mentioned, Olivia, there are certain timely political considerations, environmental considerations, things that are on everybody's minds. And certainly there are abundant movies out there, pop culture references to asteroids and space. And people are fascinated by that. And what does that mean for us as humans and our continued existence? So quite timely. And I think that will interest and draw a lot of people.
Yeah, I hope it does. And I like to think of it as timely, but not in an overwhelming sense, not in the sense that it hits you over the head with things are bad and we don't like them.
Right, run for your lives.
Yeah, but in a way that encourages people to take a look at their own lives in the context of the world that we currently live in.
Right, deep in your lives rather than run away from
absolutely.
Them. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, it sounds like there's so many reasons to see this play and several opportunities to see it as well. This weekend, the playwright will be there, so that will be quite nice to get a glimpse of the playwright.
Yeah,
and maybe
come on down. No,
we
hang out usually after the show.
Right.
You know, so if people want to come down and meet them on, and that's the advantage of the theater that we do. If this is something, and I encourage, if there's anyone who's a local playwright that is curious about how to get started, come talk to us. You know, Olivia's this is her first show. This is exactly why we do what we do. She is why we do what we do, and so come down. You know, because we don't just need playwrights from the Northeast.
And in addition to just enjoying the play, you get to feel like you're part of this great American theater scene where you're a part of how plays develop, how they change, how they become final products. And that's an important role that we can all play, you know, citizen playwrights.
Yeah, I think, that, you know, we are transparent in our in the way that we produce. And part of that is we want the community to feel a sense of ownership. There is no question as to why Acadiana Repertory Theater is our name. We belong to this community, but we also serve the larger theater community. So we want people to feel like they can come and get involved in many different ways, even if it's just sitting in a chair and giving a little feedback after.
Right. So you let us all feel like we're a part
absolutely.
Of that development. So just an incredible opportunity for us all to have Acadiana Rep in our community, bringing in plays and playwrights from around the country. It's fascinating to see where all of these playwrights live. They don't all live in New York City.
Yeah.
You're located in Boston now.
Correct.
But it's really interesting where people have come from and what they write about.
Yeah.
You know? Well, was there anything in particular that when you knew you were coming down to Louisiana, that Louisiana had chosen your play, was there anything about Louisiana that you wanted to see or experience or learn about?
The food?
The food. Okay.
See, experience and learn about?
And
I consume food every day of my life. I need it to live. So,
yeah.
I get very excited about good food.
Okay.
I also get very excited about places that are not 55 degrees on June 1st.
We can offer you that.
Yeah. So, and just the kindness of everyone down here, The Massachusetts and New York communities are not known for being particularly warm and welcoming, as they may be occasionally. But everyone here that I've interacted with through Acadiana and just throughout Lafayette has been so wonderful, warm, welcoming, excited about the work that we're doing. So just the community itself has been so exceptional.
We're very glad to hear that. We do. I wouldn't even say we try. It is just a part of the culture.
Yeah, it seems incredibly natural.
Yeah. It is. So what kind of food have you eaten so far?
Oh, my gosh. Yesterday we got po' boys, and today we ate some gumbo. It's my first gumbo experience.
Despite the weather, I felt like, I know, as I'm eating gumbo, I'm going, what in the name?
Not wake up this morning saying it's gumbo weather.
Yeah, but it's not gumbo weather. But I felt like if anything.
It's good anytime.
Yes.
We were in an air-conditioned restaurant, to be entirely fair.
That's right.
Well, that certainly is a good way to start your time in Louisiana.
Yeah.
And we hope that you get to try all of the wonderful dishes.
Oh, I hope so, too. Going to gain 10 pounds just this week.
Well,
Yeah, it's okay. We know.
I'm making an excuse for myself.
And who knows? Maybe some of these dishes will find their way into a play of yours someday.
Oh, my goodness. You know? Maybe.
Yeah, someone will be just sitting down eating a bowl of
jambalaya. I've always wanted to write a diner play, so we'll see what happens.
Okay, well, take her to some more diners.
Judith, yeah, giving, right. giving ideas to the playwrights. I like it.
Well, again, you can see this great play, Final Flight, which doesn't yet have a mention of gumbo in it, but there's many other wonderful things about
there
it.
There are rewrites yeah. to come.
That's
it's right. possible.
That's right.
You see? Oh my. We'll give you credit.
It is a right. developmental that's production right. after
right.
all.
Oh, okay. Yes, there is hope. Again, my guest, Olivia Z. Cody, is the playwright. Acadiana Rep is producing it. It will open this Friday at Cité des Arts, and you can find out more through the Acadiana Rep website, mm-hmm. Facebook page, or the Cité des Arts.
Absolutely.
Page. All right. Well, welcome to our community, Olivia.
Thank you very much.
Olivia, we look forward to your play, and we look forward to hearing about your future career.
Oh, me too.